He that is ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of him before my Father. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation.
I can be arrested if you want. I can be arrested if you want.
What's your face?
You put your hand.
You better even make your life with the Lord Jesus Christ.
What are you doing?
I am preaching.
You are preaching.
I'm going to require you to go away.
You can never.
Okay, then I will arrest you for a breach of peace. Plain and simple.
What breach of peace?
Is what you're doing at the moment. You're causing problems, you're disturbing people's days, and you're breaching their peace. Okay, so for that to be dealt with, if you won't go away voluntarily, we will have to arrest you.
I will not go away. Because I need to tell them the truth. Because Jesus is the only way. The truth. Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life.
I appreciate that.
And nobody.
I appreciate that, but nobody wants to listen to that. They want you to go away.
Oh, you don't want to listen to that. You will listen when you are dead. You will listen when you are dead. You will listen. Take me. Don't take my Bible away. Don't take my Bible away.
Before that, sir.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Whatever you like, you can even do.
He that is ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of him before my Father. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the Luminary, and you're listening to The Truth Stands from Charlotte, North Carolina. Say, you can chase a lot all over the world, but the truth, it stands where it stands. And we're taking a stand right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I am once again in the glorious Truth Stand Studios. I am sitting in front of the Dell Inspiron 6 serial code, whatever, whatever. I am recording on Audacity. To the left of me, I have the Galaxy Tab S4 in full effect. You're hearing the dulcet tones of the Luminary behind the platinum blue snowball microphone. To the right of me, it's the Pixel 2XL. It is on airplane mode as usual. And we have a new technological addition to the family. It is called the Tick Watch Pro Smart Watch. I think I said something about that a few podcasts ago, and I got it. I've made it happen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. But it is also on silent mode because I have something very important to talk about today, and that is simply this. How does the gospel really get spread? We have a lot of false understanding of that from our modern evangelical world. In our modern evangelical world, they basically say, oh, we have to kiss the world's hind parts. We have to let them know how much we care about their social justice warrior issues. We have to let them know how much we care about their politics. We have to play footsie. We have to go play in the sandbox with them. They have to be our best bosom buddy. We have to just basically listen to them talk all about how bad we really are, how people like me are the reasons why they don't like Christianity. We have to kowtow, bow the knee, create all sorts of phony gospels, phony doctrines, phony movements to make them feel better or to appease them. And that's how we're supposed to win them. They will misabuse and misquote scriptures talking about Paul became all things to all men so that he might win some and all of that stuff. I've come to learn that is crap. That is pure garbage. That is the false doctrine created by the Jesuit counter-reformation movement, but that's something we'll talk about in a later podcast if the Lord wills. You can listen to me every single Sunday and any other time I post on thetruthstand.org. That is my own personal website, my own personal blog. That is thetruthstand.org. That is thetruthstand.org. Listen, listen, listen. Now, before I get started here, where have I been? Why haven't I been posting as of late? Well, simple. I needed to seek the Lord for direction because I put a lot of non-monetary time into this. I put a lot of effort into the show, and I just don't come here to do a 15-minute little podcast where I talk in a ready-made studio and things like that, and I just give you a few thoughts and that's the end of it. I produce a full-fledged show. What you just heard in the very beginning is a clip and is the subject matter of this entire podcast. I'm only talking one thing today. But I really needed time with the Lord because, quite frankly, I got tired. Sick and tired of really talking about what the devil is doing. All of the articles I've went over with you, not only on my own network, but when I was a part of other networks, it just became monotonous. The corruption of the preacher class. It became monotonous talking about the corruption of our political and social systems that is creeping in and taking over the church and corrupting the church even beyond the levels on where it's already been corrupt. And quite frankly, I just had enough. I got tired of looking at article after article after article after article. I just got so sick and tired of it. So that is the reason why I took a break. I decided, Lord, is this for me? Do you want me doing this? If not, please destroy it. Do something. Get rid of it. Make my laptop blow up. Make my microphone blow up. Do something. Tell me, Lord, that you don't want me doing this. But if you do want me doing this, Lord, please give me direction that's going to edify the body of Christ, that's going to teach lessons. Don't get it twisted. I am still the truth stand. I am still coming behind this microphone, and I am still going to hit hard things that I need to hit hard because no one else does anything like what I do. I am not a Christian podcaster, and I'll get into that later. I do not do Christian podcasting. I do the truth stand. You will never, ever hear anything like what you're hearing here. You will never hear the issues that I talk about, the way I talk about it, with the humor, with the entertainment value, with the passion, with the energy, with the absolute authority and the absolute certainty of what I'm saying and the conviction that it comes from. You will never hear that anywhere else but at thetruthstand.org. Nobody wants to listen to that. Street preacher arrested in London for breach of the peace. Once again, this is from Christian News Net, reported on February the 24th. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to read this entire article because I'm going to read the exchange, the blow by blow. You rarely get something this detailed with a witnessing encounter, with an experience of Christian persecution for preaching the actual gospel. This preacher's name, Preacher Ola, he's from Nigeria. And as you already know, if you've listened to the Truth Stand for quite some time, Nigeria is one of the worst countries in the nation for Christians, particularly African Christians. They are constantly persecuted by the Boko Haram. And so this man, Pastor Ola or Preacher Ola, is in the UK. He's in London, street preaching, trying to preach the gospel. And as you heard in the clip earlier in the very beginning, you heard the exchange, but it is better if I read it to you. Starting with the article, it says, the name of the street preacher is not yet known, but we now know it's Pastor Ola or Preacher Ola. But according to an Instagram post, the man is from Nigeria and he appears to be in his senior years. What are you doing here? The responding officer asks. I am preaching, the man advises. You are preaching. I am going to require you to go away, the officer states. You can never, the man exclaims. Okay, then I will arrest you for breach of peace. Plain and simple. The officer threatens. What breach of peace, the man asks. Well, it's what you're doing at the moment. You're posing problems. You're disturbing the people's days. and you're breaching their peace, the officer asserts. So basically what that means is some God hater called and complained, and that's what they mean. Because if you watch the video, when you go on YouTube, just look it up. It will be preacher arrested in UK for preaching the gospel. It's on YouTube. It's the same clip you just heard me play. The man is in his senior years. You can hear his voice. He sounds like he's struggling to talk. This is not someone who's, quote, disturbing the peace. He doesn't have a microphone with some big giant loudspeaker yelling and screaming at people. He's just trying to share the gospel, one man with a Bible in his hand. But yet, quote, he's disturbing the peace. And the cops, the constables, the London police are there to, quote, harass him and to get rid of him. Now, in fairness to them, they were not necessarily mean. If you listen to the clip, you look at the clip, they weren't really being mean to him up until the end point where they physically arrested him and took the Bible out of his hand. But it was, if we could say it was peaceful, it was somewhat peaceful. It wasn't as if there was some fight that broke out or some big type of drama. But listen, listen, we go on with the article. The man refuses to leave. I will not go away because I need to tell them the truth, he replies. He then resumes preaching. Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, and no man begins, but is interrupted again by the officer. I appreciate that, but no one wants to listen to that, he interjects. They want you to go away. What did he mean by they? It was probably one person. But anyway, that's how our world works now. If you hate God, you hate Jesus, all you need to do is be one person and complain, and then you have more power than we do. That's how that works. See, freedom of speech isn't freedom of speech until someone decides they are offended. Then all of a sudden, it's offensive language. Then the cop says, oh, well, the preacher says, oh, you don't want to listen to that. You will listen when you're dead. I like that. The officer then places the preacher in handcuffs, and another grabs the Bible from his hand. Don't take my Bible away, the man pleads. Then the video has quickly received thousands of views. By the time of this recording, the video has actually passed 3 million views, okay? Quote, bloody nuisance, one commenter wrote. Fine him and deport if he has no papers. You cannot force your beliefs on others, and they obey the laws. I don't care about your storybook pie in the sky. See, that's the real reason. Not that he was disturbing the peace, but because godless UK people don't want to hear it. And by the way, godless UK people, I mean that. Because the UK is one of the most godless nations in the world. They have done everything to drive the notion of Jesus out of that world. They have done mostly what they could. There's going to be other examples I'm going to read to you in this article, but the UK is kind of akin to Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, when Paul was in Athens. Athens is the seat of Western philosophy. This is where Plato and Aristotle and Socrates, this is where these people come from. This is where Satan dwells, okay? This is close to that area. And these people are similar to these people in Athens and when Paul preached in Mars Hill, because that's one place you didn't want to preach at, because those people thought they were smarter than you, they thought they were wittier than you, more intelligent than you, and you're just some stupid babbler going on and on about stupid nonsense. UK is kind of like that. Athens, I believe, was probably worse, but the UK is similar to that. It says, you are disturbing the peace of the others. Find another way to preach. Yeah, they always say that. They always say, find another way to preach. They always say that. Not committing sin in the name of preaching. He wasn't committing sin because he wasn't breaking the law, because he really wasn't disturbing the peace. But nonetheless, quote, my mind boggles at this, that these two policemen could do this to an old man for a start, not to mention abusing his right of freedom of speech. A third person marked, to say it is a breach of peace is just ludicrous. I would even add ridiculous. I've seen worse breaches of peace with some bucksters on the street. You want to know what was a real breach of peace? Remember that whole situation that happened in Kentucky with those Catholic school kids and the Black Lives Matter or the radical Black Hebrew Israelites and that Indian activist guy who came in these kids' faces and beating drums and yelling at them, calling them racist, and all those kids were doing was waiting on a bus? That's disturbing the peace. As previously reported, numerous preachers have been arrested in the London streets in recent years. There was a man named Michael Overd, a British preacher in 2016, that was arrested, and he was charged with violating the Crime and Disorder Act because, quote, people were getting mad at their words in declaring the exclusivity of the gospel and the falsehood of other religions. See, that's what they really hate. They hate that the gospel says that it's the only way. They hate that Jesus said he was the only way, the truth, and life. See, that's what they really hate. They want to have their own religion. They want to have their own beliefs. They want to create their own gods. That's why they hate Christianity so much. That's why they hate the true, fervent preaching of the Bible. That's why I despise most modern day American evangelicalism, because most of that stuff runs away from it. Most of their entertainers, most of their celebrity preachers, most of these commentators, their alleged apologetics in this country, they all run from the actual gospel, because the gospel is foolishness unto them that do not believe. During their 2017 trial, prosecutor Ian Jackson argued before the court that preaching that Jesus is the only way to God cannot be a truth, and that some passages of the Bible are not acceptable for modern times. To say that someone that Jesus is the only way to God is not a matter of truth, to the extent that they are saying that the only way to God is through Jesus. But guess what? If it was just an opinion, if you want to believe that Jesus is just one of the ways, and this guy is saying he's the only way, why does that make you mad? Why don't you just ignore him? Why don't you just walk away? You know why. We all know why. There was another man named Mr. Stockwell that also was convicted of committing a crime by preaching the gospel. And so that is what it's like to actually be a Christian committed to preaching the gospel. Am I saying you have to go out into the streets? No. But what I'm saying is that there is such a thing as preaching the gospel with fervent love and compassion for the lost, and the truth needs to be heard. And I am so sick and tired of Christians that are running around completely obfuscating the truth, doing all kinds of things to say anything but what is true. They're trying to do everything else but that. We're all caught up in all these other discussions about eschatology. We're getting into all kinds of arguments about stuff that ultimately doesn't matter as much as the gospel actually matters. He was called racist by some of these people. He was called an Islamophobe by some of these people because he was saying Islam isn't the way. And there was another in the premiere .org.uk. This is another Christian magazine called Premier.org in the UK, where this preacher basically said, he's a 64-year-old man, he basically said, I never really got a chance to actually preach the gospel the first time, because as he was started, that's when the cops came and when they showed up. By his name, I'm trying to pronounce his name, it's Ola Islazami. I'm sorry, I can't pronounce the name, people. But quote, and this is a beautiful quote of his. This is him saying what happened the day later. I was thinking I would not be able to get back, but God raised up for me people in the streets who could even be of assistance to me. And I thank God that I came back and started preaching again. What? What? Say that again. He came back and started preaching again. You know what that kind of reminds me of? Kind of reminds me of a little story in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, you know what was going on in the book of Acts at that time, where the church was being founded, the Holy Spirit had come, and the Holy Spirit was saving and was adding to the church as he wills. And just to start in chapter 4, verse 1, now as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed by what they taught, by what the people were taught and preached in Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. Because, see, the Sadducees were the liberals of that day. They didn't believe in things like the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on him and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to believe was about 5,000. Stop. This man, actions in the UK, has garnered over 3 million views. That man's actions created faith in others that when he came back, they helped him. They protected him. Acts chapter 4, 5,000 were added just because they preached the gospel, and they were arrested. In Acts chapter 8, after Saul had started the persecution of the church, people scattered and the gospel was being preached. You see that again in Acts chapter 11. The gospel was being preached wherever they went, and numbers of people in the thousands were being added because the gospel was being spread, even in persecution. Paul talked about in Timothy when he was in prison, how people, even in his bonds, were preaching the gospel in Jesus' name to even mock Paul, but yet the gospel was still being spread. That is how powerful the gospel is. See, you don't need all this garbage that the evangelical world is giving you to preach and share the gospel. Now, going back to Acts chapter 4. So they basically were brought before the Sanhedrin, and they were then told to not speak again in their name. And starting at verse 18 says, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them. But because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done, for the man was over 40 years old whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And this all started because they had performed a miracle for this man, and the gospel had been preached, and the gospel and the power of the Lord had started to spread. Then we move over to Acts chapter 5, where you got to remember, these people were told not to preach in the name, okay? And so, starting at verse 17 in Acts chapter 5, then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles. By the way, the apostles before then had basically found out the sin and the lie of Ananias and Sapphira, and they were, of course, killed by the Lord. And then miracles, signs, and wonders once again started to happen. The gospel broke out again. Of course, people were getting saved. Of course, people were coming into the Lord as usual. And so what happens is that the high priest again arrests them. And he says, starting in verse 19, but at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard it, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, indeed, we found the prison shut secretly and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. And so these people, once again, were being persecuted. Going down to verse 29. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey. And of course, after Gamaliel had spoken to, he was a doctor of the law, a teacher of the law, he spoke to the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin, of course, basically, starting at verse 40, and the Sanhedrin agreed with Gamaliel, and they called the apostles and beat them. Now, remember, the first time they didn't get beat, but they're getting beat now. And then commanded them they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. And daily in the temple and every house, they did not cease preaching the name of Jesus. So what? They continued to do it again. Let me tell you something. The Christians of today would have told them, you got to obey the rules, you got to obey the law, and they would have demonized Peter today. These bunch of Christians today would have demonized him. They would have said, you're not obeying the government, and you are showing the world that you're being disobedient. Just like one of the commenters commented to say, hey, you can't break the law. You can't break the law. Let me tell you something. The law of the Lord is greater than the law. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to suffer persecution? Are you willing to brave it? Are you willing to stand up for the things of righteousness on your job? Are you willing? You don't have to go out there necessarily preach in the streets. But guess what? That's where a lot of people are. Are you willing to hand someone a gospel tract at a convenience store, at a grocery store? Are you willing to do these things? Let me ask you that. Are you willing to invite them to dinner so you can just share the gospel with them? Are you willing to just have a word for them without feeling the need to become their best buddy and best friend and pal and justify what you believe by somehow tying it to social justice warrior stuff or somehow agreeing with their notion of what they think persecution is or whatever? Are you willing to do that? The gospel spreads its best when the church is not only being persecuted, but it spreads its best when we are willing to spread it, when we're willing to share it. And God will have your back. That doesn't mean you won't face some sort of persecution. You will. The Bible is clear. Those who desire to live godly shall be persecuted. It is a part of the requirement. And one thing I want to remind you, I saw this in this article from crossway.org. And it talks about the 10 things you need to know about persecution. And I'm not going to read all these now, but I'm going to do this as a separate podcast. But there's a couple things you need to know. Persecution should not be sought after. In other words, you should not go out wanting to make things happen, because guess what? It's a difference between being a jerk, being rude and disrespectful, and then just humbly doing what the Lord wants you to do. Also, what you got to understand is that persecuted Christians are not celebrities, nor are they super saints. You are not special because you got persecuted for the Lord. You're not special. And you're not great because everybody thinks you're great because you preach the gospel. You're not a celebrity, nor are you a super saint, meaning that you can preach the gospel, but guess what? Some of our lives aren't good. Some of us, we are falling way short. Matter of fact, no, all of us fall short of his glory. But it doesn't mean that you have to be the perfect Christian to share the gospel. There are a lot of people that I've shared the gospel with that I knew personal stuff about. But their gospel, the gospel of peace, the gospel of truth, the gospel of salvation, the gospel of repentance was given clearly, plainly spoken. And so at the end of the day, here it is. The gospel spreads through persecution. The gospel spreads through desire to share the truth and to be looked upon as a fool, to be called names, to be looked upon as somebody. You got plenty of scripture evidence, plenty of scripture that continues to justify. So that's the main point of this podcast. And it is now come to an end. This is the podcast. It was brief. It was short. It was hard hitting, but I think this is what the Lord wanted me to do. I am going to try to keep with this format so that it doesn't overextend me and it doesn't overextend you. We all are busy. We have things to do, but I want to make sure that I encourage you as the body of Christ that when you listen to all these other teachers and read all this other media or see all this other media with all these other teachers claiming we got to do 29 steps to before we can even share the gospel. And then when we share the gospel, we got to make sure it don't offend somebody. My friend, the gospel is offensive. They hate you because they hated him first. So understand that. I want to encourage you that that is the point of the gospel. If it doesn't offend somebody, it's not doing its job. And it's not your job to save. You are not the savior. You are not the winner. You can only preach and then let the Lord handle these people the way he's going to handle them. All right? With that being said, you can chase a lot all over the world, but the truth, it stands where it stands. I am your host, the luminary for the truthstand.org in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'm out. Peace.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
I'll be back.
I'll be back. I'll be right back.
I'll be back.
I'll be back.
I'll be back.
Ha! You didn't know I'm gonna say that, did you?
That's what you always say.